Wait a minute.
Hear this.
Powered by the Sales IQ Network.
This is the Sales IQ Podcast. I'm your host, Luigi Prestidenti, and each week we'll be going on a journey that will inspire you, motivate you, and help you be the best sales professional you can be. Our focus will be on mindset, tactics, and the strategies that will enable you to create more pipeline and win more deals. And just like that, it's April 2022. One quarter for the calendar year is down. The next quarter has started. You're probably thinking, Luigi, that was last week. That's old news. New quarter started. I've been banging the phones. I've been developing opportunities. I'm already getting into the thick of things. Why are you so late? Well, unfortunately, I had a week off because I got a bit of the man flu. I was dying there for a week, so I actually missed a week, and I was really excited to talk about the opportunity that comes when a new quarter starts again. So here I am, a week late, but something that I really was giving this a lot of thought, because just before the quarter was ending, I was seeing a lot of content. I was seeing a lot of people discuss the fact that it's the last day of the quarter, keep going, keep pushing, get those last minute deals in. And I'd be challenged by that, right? Because as a sales professional, one of the things that separates us from everybody else is our ability to plan. Like, think about this. We're not rushing our prospects to a point of decision. We're not doing those deals, you know, sign today, last day of the month, and you get those discounts, right? That's the reason why there is such a still a trust gap between buyers and sellers when we pull out those last minute kind of tactics to get people to sign. Great sellers ensure they have a robust pipeline. And yes, there are times when a deal has momentum. There's a massive trigger or reason for a deal to maybe that sometimes would take 3 months that might close in 2 weeks. But that's not the norm. And I think my message that I just want to sort of relay before we get into this incredible topic for this week is just think about your pipeline now. It's the start of the quarter. You've got a little bit of time up your sleeve now to build your pipe. Now, the key thing to remember, though, is the outcomes that you get and the sales results and the performance that you're going to achieve this quarter is a result of the work you did last quarter. So if you have pipeline, any pipeline deficiencies, if you have any issues with your pipeline, you need to get onto it now, because waiting to the end of the quarter to drag those last minute deals across the line means you're going to have a vicious circle. Each quarter, you're chasing your tail. That creates a bit of nervousness, anxiety, stress. It's stuff that you want to reduce. You want to reduce those feelings, those emotions, because they're the emotions that can trigger certain actions that lead us to a point of trying to drag opportunities that are just not ready to get to that point of decision. So that's something I wanted to really talk about before we get into today's topic.
This podcast is brought to you by the Create Pipeline program from Sales IQ Global. This program will equip you with the skills, tools, and confidence to run an outbound strategy so you can generate more qualified opportunities and close more deals. Hear what Alice from DocuSign has been able to achieve since joining the program and our incredible community.
So my name's Alice, and I work at DocuSign as an EBR. And the reason I started Sales IQ was because I really needed that guidance and that training to make sure that the outreach that I was doing was hitting the nail on the head. So I was lucky enough to start the program early on in this role. And since then, I've been pretty successful. And last quarter, I finished on 185%. So have seen some huge results by adopting the principles.
Our next cohort is starting soon. So to learn more, go to www.salesiqglobal.com. Or if you have a team of sellers, talk to us about our in-house offering. Control your pipeline, control your destiny with Sales IQ.
Why I'm excited about today's topic is because we're going to be talking to someone that's achieved incredible results in 2021. He was the number one performing SDR for the company that he works at, which is Qualtrics, which is part of, you know, the massive organization, SAP. And he's recently been promoted. And what I love about this particular chat is Andrew's very green. Like, he hasn't got years and years of experience under his belt. But what he does have is an incredible attitude and mindset when it comes to learning. And the fact that he's really taken the time, not just, you know, as an SDR, just to master the role of SDR, but he was even going deeper funnel to learn more about what else happens post that lead to AE transition, so that he could really learn but the world of the AE and how that could impact his area of the funnel. And now that he's moved into the AE role, what I've absolutely loved, I've seen him, his appetite and willingness to continue to learn, continue to build his capability so that being a number one SDR, it wasn't luck. It wasn't just because he had a good list of accounts, he had a good patch, he had a good data set, and bang, he was able to make magic happen. He did it based on being very intentional and deliberate with the way that he focused his time. And again, that's where this relates to thinking about your quarter. Success is going to come from your level of intention or how intentional you get and how focused you get on really planning your time so that you can allocate your time to, you know, the high payoff activities, the revenue raising activities that are going to yield you results. So I can't wait to get into this episode with Andrew. Again, it's a great episode because it shows that anything's possible. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Luigi.
Man, pretty excited, mate. And just for those listeners that don't know a bit about you, I bumped into you because I was cold calling you for a role to join Sales IQ because you're the SDR of the organization you work at. And as a result, we've ended up having you on the podcast, mate. So welcome to the show.
It's funny how the world works, but we're here now. So yeah, happy to get into it.
Well, mate, before we get into talking a bit about how you made the achievement or achieved the outcome of SDR of the year in your current company, and you don't work for a small business either, you work for a pretty major organization. Tell us a little bit about how you started in the world of selling.
Yeah. So I have a bit of a background, so I guess like this is my second career change. I used to be an electrical engineer. And then after that, I co-founded a small Whole Foods cafe in DY. But that takes us to the start of last year, 2021. And pretty much, I like a lot of people, I fell into sales. But because the catalyst was a good friend of mine now. I met him at a dinner party. And long story short, I told him my story and he pretty much said, like, have you ever considered a career in sales? And I said, well, not really. And he just kept pestering me throughout this dinner party, to be honest. But yeah, I started looking at the job description and I was just, a lot of the words in those job descriptions really resonated with me.
And why? Like, what part of it? Because obviously moving into sales for a lot of us, it's something that you just fall into, right? But what was it that attracted you to this particular career? Because you've gone in at the sales development, which for some is the hardest role to do when it comes to selling.
Yeah. Like, and don't be wrong, I definitely tried to apply for account executive roles. I thought I would be ready straight away for account executive roles, but I'm so glad that I didn't skip this initial step, especially in terms of what I've learned in terms of outbound cold outreach and outbound prospecting.
Yeah.
And like, I guess what resonated with me was I'm a numbers back. I have got a numbers background, but like the engineering profession just didn't suit my way of working. I'm a people person by nature, and just that plus other things like autonomy and having a commercial acumen and other kind of things like that were what resonated really with me the most.
Awesome, man. And so you started with, you know, SAP Qualtrics, which is a huge organization. In that SDR role, and how, like, talk to us about how you became like the SDR of the year, because that's a pretty impressive outcome to achieve in an organization of that size.
Yeah, I think like being very new to the career and new to the work and what was expected of me, I soaked it all in. I made sure that I ramped up as quickly as I could. Yeah. And I guess very early on, I was very quantity driven over quality. So I knew that if I got my quantity or the amount of tasks completed a day up to a high enough level where it's comfortable for me to attain that daily, then I can start worrying about the quality of my cold calling, the quality of my cold emails. So that was very much my strategy. Like, get my numbers up first, get it up to a point where I'm comfortable operating at that level. And then from there, look into ways that I can really hyper-personalize my approach to some of these prospects.
Yeah, awesome, man. So I suppose the quantity aspect of what you were trying to do was that to just get the rhythm in play and start to get your activity levels up, et cetera.
Exactly right. Like outbound prospecting, it can be very energy draining, and especially when you're new, right? It's like, you know, when you're on your L's for the first time, those first few lessons with your parents or whoever, you're exhausted just after driving a car for an hour because you're so aware of your surroundings and everything. But I knew that it was going to be like that. I just had to get myself up into that point where outbound prospecting was like second nature, and then I could start spending the rest of my time or the rest, what's left of my energy for the day, on quality and hyper-personalizing.
Okay. You're giving us real insight into sort of how you started into the role. When did you realize that hyper-personalization was an important part of enabling you to achieve the certain outcomes that you're looking to achieve?
I guess it was probably around the fifth or sixth month.
Yeah.
On target. You know, I'm definitely not the first SDR at SAP Qualtrics, and I definitely won't be the last, but there was a guy before me who kind of paved the way.
Yeah.
In terms, like he set a lot of records for SDRs globally at our company. And to see him hit his numbers with a third of my activity, that's kind of what I guess, like, how I designed my strategy. I knew that numbers were a part of this game, but at some point I'd had to get better at quality because there's people like this guy who's doing literally a third of my activity per month and still smashing his target. So yeah.
That's interesting, man. So he's doing less, but getting more from his outreach.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. So I don't know. For example, he would literally do 33% of my activity and still probably and get somewhere between 120 to 140% of his monthly target.
Okay. So this is not the first time we've heard this on our show, man. We had an incredible operator called Alice Abraham from DocuSign who, again, he did 180% of target.
Yeah.
He was of the same methodology. He was doing less outreach, but getting more than his colleagues that were doing triple the volume that he was doing because he was spending a lot of time finding trigger events and hyper-personalizing and making sure his outreach was super relevant. And he extended his cadence out to 18 touches over a 15-day outreach period. Now, before we jumped into this session, we're in the green room, you spoke about the fact that you have a very specific sequence that you're using. Do you want to talk us through that sequence that you're, or that cadence that you're using to reach out to prospects?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm using Sam Nelson's Egoji sequence. So Sam Nelson is the SDR team lead for the company Outreach out in the States. And I heard it, to be honest, I heard it on a whim on another SDR podcast.
Yep.
I can't remember which one, but this is a successful SDR. She mentioned it on a whim in the middle of a paragraph. And I literally paused. I was like, wait, hold on a second. What was that? And she didn't even speak about it at all. It was kind of like, oh, obviously I use Sam Nelson's Egoji sequence. And then she went on and I was like, what do you mean? Obviously. So yeah, I looked it up and I was like, this is exactly what I was looking for. So very early on in my career, I was very much hunting for a sequence that would suit me and how I'd like to work. And given this guy before me who paved the way, I'll shout him out, Luke Lee, he paved the way before me. But I did look at his sequence and one of the things that really bothered me about it was 0% automated. So one of the key benefits to Sam Nelson's Egoji sequence is that it's 33% automated. And I think that's pretty good for an outbound prospecting sequence.
Okay, so talk us through how many touches over what period of time? Because we know Sam, we know his sequence, but I'd love for you to kind of talk about how you've adapted that into your role. So talk us through your outreach sequence and tell me why that has helped you achieve some of the outcomes it's enabled you to achieve.
Yeah, so it's a 15-step sequence with a variety of manual emails, automatic emails and several steps of calling the prospect.
Yep.
And I guess the thing that I really love about it and what really drew me to it as well, yes, it was the automation, but the fact that the way that Sam Nelson's designed it is that it doubles down or quadruples down on the initial research that you do on the prospect, so that when you're looking for your trigger in that cold email and how you personalize that initial email, it doubles down on the time you spend on that. Because the follow-up emails, yes, they're automated, but they're very clever in that they just say, have you had a chance to read this, in the same email thread.
Yep.
It essentially brings that email back to the top of their inbox with no extra work or effort on your part. You've just reutilized that research that you did in that initial email. And that's, yep. I think that coupled with Tony Hughes's combo methodology has really helped me hit the response rates and open rates that I've achieved over this past year.
Yeah. And this is really good, right? I think this is really good insight for anybody listening to this episode, that the threading, you're talking about threading an email, right?
Yep.
And tell us the thread, basically you're forwarding or replying to all so that your previous email is relevant. It's there. They can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right. You, in outreach, you make sure that there's an option in any of your email steps that you can choose whether it to be a new thread or a reply on an old thread. So I think by default, it's set to reply actually. So yeah, as long as that's set up and the Egoshi sequence, it relies heavily on that. That's why, like, you know, you've got email steps, but they're defined as like a manual email, and automatic emails actually defined as reply emails. So yep. You're just following up on your initial email. Yeah.
So this is good. And look, you're obviously, email's only a part of it. What are some of the other touches that you're putting into the Egoji sequence?
Yeah. So very similar to Tony Hughes's combo prospecting. You kind of want to do that big splash on that initial outreach. So I send them a manual email.
Yep.
First, but there's a connection request on LinkedIn with a small message that very much just paraphrases in very few words what your initial email included. And there's also a phone call. So this is the one part where I've kind of changed the Egoji sequence to a degree. The original traditional Egoji sequence has all three of those things. So email, LinkedIn connection request, and phone call all on the same day.
Yep.
I actually changed the phone call to the second day. Otherwise, the Egoji sequence is almost exactly the same as how Sam Nelson originally intended it.
Okay. This is great, man. I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that you've started in the role, you weren't achieving an outcome, you decided to do a bit of research, you found the sequence, you've played around with it, you're executing it, and you've been able to achieve some insane results that's helped you become SDR of the year. But for many sellers that are probably listening to this, they're probably going, mate, I've already got a sequence. I'm using an outreach sequence, but I'm not hitting the result. What, outside of the sequence, what are some of the other things that you've done in your role that's allowed you to achieve the outcome?
I think one of the biggest things is I set up a point system, like an accountability system. So look, I'm very aware that there's been many point systems set up for various things in various roles, but when I was introduced to it, which again, back to that dinner party at the start of 2021, that guy ended up being my careers coach and is now a good friend. But when he was helping me complete that second career transition, he actually put me on a point system, and I didn't realize what was going on at the time. I'd never been exposed to one, but essentially he was like, we're going to accredit a certain amount of points for the number of job applications that you submit, the number of responses you get back from recruiters, whether they be external agencies or internal talent acquisition people, and the number of interviews that I, you know, I get invited to, I guess. So, and straight away, that made me very results driven, which I love. I'm not a time driven person. It's all about outcomes. And so I just, you know, the story tells itself. I ended up with Qualtrics, but the thing is I love that approach of working. So I applied it to my outbound prospecting. So I believe one of my colleagues out of our Dallas office, Trent Dressel, he actually has his own YouTube channel and has a great YouTube video on this, on how to set up your own point system. But for me, it's, yeah, I set up a daily goal of points, and I accredited certain outbound tasks or daily activities to a value of points. So mine's pretty trivial though. So one cold call, one cold email sent, one new prospect added to a sequence, one LinkedIn task, whether that be a connection request or a LinkedIn email, they're all worth 1 point. And yeah, it's very clear what I need to do every single day in terms of being productive and completing outbound prospecting tasks.
Okay. So that's good, man. So you kind of got your own little accountability buddy, so to speak, by having a point system that allows you to kind of compete with yourself every day.
Exactly right. It makes it really, really, really clear. And this is the thing as well. Like, yes, it's great for accountability. It's great for making sure that you're productive every day. Mm. But one of the other main reasons why I set the system up, and I've been telling my fellow SDRs this as well, is that like, we could be prospecting till midnight.
Yeah.
Every night. There are so many people out there that are suitable for our products or services that we're trying to sell. And what a point system does is helps you draw that line in the sand. So at the end of the day, independent of the number of meetings that you've booked for an account executive, or if you're an account executive, number of meetings you book for yourself, you can close that laptop lid and say, and be happy and satisfied with the level of work you've done. And that's one of the main reasons why I set it up for myself as well.
So you're really focusing on the required steps and the actions that you need to put in place to achieve the result versus focusing on the result each day.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and look, it's still important though. The result is still to you know, create new opportunities and get new prospects interested or even excited about the product or service that you're selling. But anyone who's listening to this right now and who has a profession in sales, you have your highs and your lows. So you have weeks where, yeah, literally a week or 2 weeks where nothing's working for you. And in my opinion, if you've set up some sort of system to hold yourself accountable and you've hit that goal every day, you can't feel bad or, you know, beat yourself down and say, oh, you know, I'm just not a good salesperson or, yeah, you know, whereas as long as you're putting the work in, you can only be happy with that. It's that classic case of control what you can control, or worry about what you can control, and your daily activities 100% is in your hands. So,
well, listening to this show, I talk a lot about the circle of control, right? And what's out of control. And the things that we can focus on is, you're right, those incremental steps we take every day that's going to lead us to a particular outcome. Mate, we'd love to understand, like, if you obviously you've achieved a great outcome, right? SDR of the year, you've got yourself that promotion and you're developing a career path for yourself, which is awesome. But if you had the opportunity to go back and start your career again as an SDR, what's one or two things that you'd do differently after reflecting on the time so far in the role?
That's a good question. I guess, I don't know, that's hard for me because everything that, yeah, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of learning at the start, but everything that I've, oh, you know what, actually, no, I take that back. Objection handling over the phone. So that's something that I'm still not the best at, but at the very early on, I was like, oh, you know, I don't need that. If, you know, I'll do my calls, or I'll be email heavy. You know, I'll avoid my calls. I'll set up a sequence without calls, kind of thing. And I think a lot of people are like that as well. Like, cold calling isn't the best, but when you want to use something like the Egoji sequence, those calls are, they're critical. And because it's another medium for those prospects to say, oh yeah, that's right, I need to get back to that person. Because, you know, that classic case, just because they're ignoring you doesn't mean it's a no. Absolutely. A lot of times people are just busy, right? So even if you don't get through, just them seeing that missed call, them seeing that voicemail is huge for you getting a response on your email. So I guess, like, my objection handling is a lot better than what it was 5-6 months ago, but it still has a lot of work. And I think that's because, like, I avoided it to a degree when I first started. So I think that'll be my answer.
This is awesome, man. And obviously you have access to an incredible enablement team at Qualtrics. They give you a lot of training, but you know, is there anything that you went outside of the organization to find content-wise, books, videos, anything that's helped you, or did all your learning come from, you know, in the role that you're in?
Yeah, definitely not. I was referred a few books. So Daniel Pink's, it's Human to Sell,
yep.
I'm pretty sure. Split the Difference by Chris, I can't remember his surname.
Of course, yeah.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, books like that and a lot of podcasts as well. Okay. So a lot of episodes from this show, SDR Nation, Blissful Prospecting, I think is another really good show.
Yeah, we love Jason Bay. Jason Bay is a good friend of our shows, man. So that's
All these things. You're always, this is one of the things that I love about sales as well, right? Because fundamentally we're dealing with people, and people, they're emotional, they're illogical, and they're also always different, right? So there's so many different ways. Like, you can always be improving in this profession. There's never a time where you're going like, this is it. This is the golden bullet. This is how you always approach people, and it's always going to work. That's not the case. And yeah, you've always got to be listening and learning, I think, for sure.
Well, this has been an awesome episode. I think for anyone that's listening to this, the fact is that you're quite new to the world of selling. You've embraced it. You've gone out, seeked your own content, built your own sequence based on something that you know that's proven, that's worked for some, you know, for many sellers globally. I mean, what Outreach has been able to do is amazing. And you've taken the opportunity that's in front of you to be, you know, to give yourself the best pathway in achieving success in a sales career. So I think that's awesome. And before we finish up, mate, where is the best place for our listeners to find you, connect with you, if they want to ask you a question following listening to this episode?
Yeah, definitely. LinkedIn is probably the best place to go. Just search my full name and I'll come up. It's a unique name. So I've always been proud of the fact that I'm the only Andrew Palumo on Facebook or any of the social media platforms. So
we'll make sure we put your URL link in the show notes so they can make it easy for them to connect with you, mate. So I just want to say, look, thanks for listening to our show, man. Thanks for being open about some of the things that you've done to achieve this success. I know that you rejected us to join our organization, man, but you know what? I'm pretty sure we'll chase you again at some point, and hopefully we get the opportunity to have you a part of our team.
Yeah, definitely. Give me a few years, and I'll be ready. Sounds like you.
Well, awesome, Andrew. Thanks, man, for coming on the Sales IQ podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, mate. Appreciate it.
This show has been recorded remotely, produced by Sales IQ Global. Audio editing and music production by Stefan Maliate. Show notes by Victoria Matheson and graphic design by Julie Marshall. Don't forget to leave a rating and review on your podcast player. And if you want to find more about the programs we offer at Sales IQ, head to www.salesiqglobal.com.